Stories, awakening, possibility, social impact. Creating a culture of compassion, connection, and collaboration. You are listening to Hollyhock Talks, a podcast about the teachers and luminaries that make Hollyhock extraordinary. Hollyhock is Canada's leading leadership learning center, located on Cortez Island. Hollyhock Talks brings a little piece of Hollyhock magic to you, wherever you are listening. This is Farah Nasrallah of Hollyhock Talks, and I'm thrilled to be here with Bettina Roth, who is a longtime Hollyhock presenter, a teacher of the Five Rhythms, a conscious movement facilitator, somatic leadership coach, and I'm sure there's many other things that you do and creative ways that you inspire people. Welcome, Bettina.
Hi, Farah. It's great to be with you today.
So for people who might not know anything about Five Rhythms and the program that you teach at Hollyhock, what is Five Rhythms all about?
You know, people always ask me that, and I laugh literally you asking me that right now, because to give a short answer for a body of work that's so vast is always a challenge. But a quick description is that the Five Rhythms, which was founded by Gabriel Roth, is a movement meditation practice that essentially reconnects us with the wisdom of our bodies and our emotional intelligence, so our feeling, sensing capacity, and helps us to drop out of the thinking mind into a deeper experience of our own selves.
Well, that was a beautiful, clear description. You must have a lot of practice.
You know, I try.
So tell me, what was your first, the first time you encountered Five Rhythms?
At the time I was 22 years old, and I went for a bit of a pilgrimage to Big Sur, California, to a retreat center that is very dear to Hollyhock, actually, called Esalen Institute. And I was a student of psychology from West Berlin and very, very disillusioned with the Western way of healing, and especially how therapy or psychotherapy was being offered and taught at the university that I was part of. And so my quest was really to look for alternative ways of healing and connecting with oneself. And during my time at Esalen, I was introduced to the Five Rhythms practice. And I was a raver at the time, really in love with dancing and collective trance and ecstasy. And so immediately I felt right at home. And what I appreciated most was the way people came together. It didn't have to be in the middle of the night, and there were certainly no substances involved. It was 10 a.m. in the morning, and we gathered in a big hall for all of us to move together and to find unity together in the dance. And it hit something in me, I think, that was longing for a different way of connecting with people. And the path of my own healing really started once I met Gabriel Roth and put myself on that path with the Five Rhythms.
Now, you mentioned healing and being disillusioned with what you were studying. Are you implying that we can't think ourselves to wholeness?
That would be my belief, yes. I think that in a lot of ways, and I'm not saying anything against cognitive therapies, there's a place for that, but we cannot get to our own healing and our wholeness with our minds alone. To me, the path of the body is the straightest way to the truth. The body doesn't lie. And I've seen it over and over again in my personal private sessions and also in my workshops and retreats, that when people begin to take responsibility for their own healing, of how they inhabit their bodies, of how they inhabit their emotional space, and listening to what their body is telling them, healing begins to really accelerate.
So let's talk a little bit about the emotions and the ways that connecting to our bodies can help us access deep-seated and even unconscious emotional experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as I just mentioned, the body doesn't lie. For me, the body is a library, and it stores information like my own personal biography and everything that I've been in touch with in my life, and I actually believe even prior to my life. So the body holds information and stories, and of course, a lot of unprocessed or unconscious emotions. And what I've found in my own dance experience and have witnessed over and over is that when we listen and invite the body to speak, the emotions begin to surface. And we don't often have to understand why we feel a certain way. It's more a way of meeting and acknowledging what is articulate and present in my body, in my heart, so that the energy can begin to move again. As I think one of the diseases that we have in Western culture is that we get over-identified with our emotional states and our stories. And in the dance, we begin to liquefy those states and we give them back over to the bigger dance.
You know, when I listen to your answer, I think of just the word emotion coming from the Latin imuovere, which means to move, and emotions as
yes,
movement-oriented expression.
Yes, absolutely. And emotions are just that. They're just energy moving through.
And the experience that you lead people through and guide people through in terms of the Five Rhythms practice, how does it how is it helpful for people who are challenged by a particular relationship or particular problem in their life?
I often don't focus on what's wrong with someone or what they're bringing that challenges them. My path is really to guide people back to their ultimate wholeness. So we always begin the journey by occupying our bodies. And that means re-entering, for some of us, the vehicle of our own physical beings. And then from that place, when we actually get ourselves back into movement and into inhabiting our full selves, things seem to come up. And there's no linear way in the healing path. It's more, what are we ready for to embrace? And what is time to be moved and accepted and cherished and let go? The way Gabrielle Roth has birthed these maps to healing, I always say they're a spiral. It's like we begin somewhere in our own thread. We come as we are. We come with maybe a hunger or a quest or a longing, and that is the gateway in.
And these five maps, can you explain a little bit about each of them?
Yes, absolutely. So the five rhythms are, in order, flowing, which is our connection to our essential feminine nature. We have staccato, which is our connection to the masculine, to our fire energy, our ability to put our being, which we discover in flowing, into action. And then these two energies come together in the rhythm of chaos, which is at the peak of the ecstatic wave. It's the divine energy of co-creation, when masculine and feminine come together. And in that rhythm, we're really being asked to surrender to something bigger than just our small identity. Often people describe as the rhythm of chaos as one where they're releasing into the bigger dance, or they're offering themselves to the rhythm. When we go through chaos, the gateway of lyrical opens. And I often say that when we watch Sufis whirl in their ecstasy and their ecstatic dancing, that's the best visual of lyrical that I've ever seen. The rhythm that is effortless and connects us with community and our own offering in that community. And it's almost like through the co-creation with the divine, we're being moved in that rhythm rather than efforting and doing the dance. After lyrical, we drop into stillness, which is the rhythm of meditation, where the mind is really quiet and people connect to spirit in this rhythm.
And do you yourself practice this every day?
I don't practice the five rhythms in its wholeness every day, but I do practice core principles, or I would say aspects of the practice, every day. You know, one is for me to wake up in the morning and actually move my whole body as I'm waking up in my bed to go, here I am, and to find my breath, to find my center, to find my ground as I'm getting out of bed, and then finding my flow. And my flow, my way of being, is not always the same in the morning. So I've developed a quality of listening to what my rhythm is at any given moment of the day. as a way to check myself, to check in, and also to determine what are my relationships like. Like, for example, I'm a really slow flower in the morning, and when I have a friend who sometimes stays over, she visits from out of town, she is like a fast, super fast staccato chaos in the morning, and we clash in the morning. Like, it's not good for us to hang out. So she knows to give me space so that I can find my own way while she's, you know, up at six with coffee and on her laptop. So I think it informs me in how I view my life, how I view my relationships, and how I interact with the environment.
And was there ever a time where you practiced it daily before it really became a part of how you are in the world?
Yes, there certainly was, especially when I was going through the teacher training with Gabrielle Roth in 2004. The practice was important for me on a daily basis. Yes. I mean, right now I teach several times a week and I have a home practice that is a variety of movement practices with, you can definitely say, the five rhythms at its core. But to dance daily is a big task. I usually say if we can get to practice, you know, every other day, it's a good thing.
And, you've been doing this for a long time. How has your understanding of movement and healing changed throughout the years?
I would have to say that I know less. I used to think I understand this and I know. And the longer I teach, the less I know. And the more in awe I am of the grace and the miraculous kind of occurrences that happen in movement, especially when we're moving together with other people. Some of the workshops that I lead are quite large, and I often travel to other communities where I don't know who's going to show up and how they're going to show up, what they're bringing to the workshop space. And to me, the ability to walk in blank without a plan and to listen what is already moving here and how can I facilitate and midwife this process is, I guess, what you could call my own maturity in my own practice, that I don't come so much anymore with a plan or feeling like I have to teach anything. It's more tracking of how a life naturally moves.
Mm-hmm. So it's more the ability to listen to what's there.
Yes, it requires utter presence, yes.
So interesting. Are there any other types of movement practice that you are drawn to in addition to dance?
Yes. Like for me personally, I do a variety of yoga practices for my own emotional and mental health and physical health, and Qigong practices. So for me, anything that gets my qi flow moving and back into balance is key for my own well-being and wellness as a facilitator, mm-hmm. other than just walking and moving as much in nature as I possibly can.
I was going to ask you, or do you spend time away from the city and away from communities and gatherings of people? Is solitude at all part of your practice?
It is part of my practice, and I would love more of that. Like the longing for solitude and communion with nature has been growing for me in the recent years. And that is part of what I adore coming up to Hollyhock, is that as part of our time there, we can actually go out and bring the five rhythms into nature and move with the elements, which here in the city is so much harder to do. That's part of my own gift when I come to Hollyhock, is to be able to connect with the divine in a different way.
And it's such the perfect place to do it, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. Sacred land, there's no doubt about that.
There's so much you've said over the last 15 minutes. I'm really in awe because so much can be unpacked in just a little that you've shared. I'm thinking of people who might be listening to this podcast and might be curious about exploring five rhythms or exploring movement as a practice towards wholeness. Yeah. What can you say to encourage people, and where can they go to get more information?
I mean, the most common concern that I hear is, I'm not a dancer, you know, I can't tell my left from my right, and I always quote, you know, I think it's, I don't know who said it, but I see it often on postcard stands or on people's Facebooks. It's that, you know, if you can walk, you can dance, or if you can talk, you can sing. And to me, I don't even look at the five rhythms as dance at all. I look at it as movement. And everybody moves all day long. I work with people that are disabled. I work with people that are in their 70s and 80s. I work with children. And for me, the threshold of entering is one that comes down to our basic ego structure. It's like, I might feel self-conscious, or I might be a perfectionist, or I might feel shy around other people. And even those aspects of ourselves are welcome. Like, yeah, move with your eyes closed, or, you know, start in a smaller group. But the importance is to find your way in, is to find your own way in. Like, as teachers, we're only guides, we're only facilitators, and not saints on a stage, but we're on the side and really cheering people on to enter themselves. It is a path, and I think I, you know, just said that in an interview the other day, about self-responsibility, about getting clear that I'm in charge of my own healing, and how I show up is entirely up to me.
And when you say I'm in charge of my own healing, you mean stepping into that place of facing whatever pain may come up, whether it's emotional or physical, and knowing that that can be transformed.
That's right, and that the practice is the part of us, or activates the part of us that knows how to heal. It's like one of my favorite Gabrielle Roth quotes is that if you put your psyche in motion, if you begin moving from the inside, healing begins to happen. It naturally begins to happen. And as part of our retreat this year at Hollyhock, we'll be focusing specifically on these innate healing powers that we have to become our own medicine man or medicine woman, rather than relying on somebody else to do it for us, which I think a lot of the Western medical model is built upon. Is like, I come to you with my aches and I say, please fix it. And what we're saying is, you can do this yourself. Like, your body knows how to heal. What we create is an environment that supports and encourages healing to bring body, heart, and mind back into congruency.
And can you give us just a little taste of that exploration of the five ways?
Of the five rhythms. Well, when I come to the practice, the first task is, how do I enter my own dance? So I usually go through the body parts and begin with my hands, and then add my elbows, add my shoulders to the dance, finding my breath, adding my spine all the way into the head, and then I get my legs moving, for example, you know, dropping into my pelvis, into my hips, my knees, my feet, and begin to listen of how my body wants to move in this very moment. And once I connect with that, I ask myself, what is ready to be expressed here? And I offer myself to the dance of expression, which in the five rhythms is moving from flowing into staccato, moving from listening to what is within to what is ready to be let out. So that's a very good starting place, especially for beginners, to even just work with the breath. It's like, what am I letting in with my in-breath, and what am I letting out with my out-breath?
You know, I'm one of the fortunate ones that will be attending your retreat. And as you're speaking, I'm just getting so excited about what the possibility of just moving freely and spontaneously and as a form of self-expression will be. So I'm so excited, Bettina.
I'm excited you will be there, Farah. It should be a sweet retreat. We have some live drummers booked for one of the days. And because it is a 5-day retreat, we really have an opportunity to bond as a group, to bond with each other, and even in between session times to stay in connection, which is at Hollyhock, of course, as you know, with the hot tubs and the beaches, is just beauty in itself.
What's your favorite part of the whole experience of teaching there?
At Hollyhock? Oh, my. That's a difficult question, actually. I love how well supported I am when I go up to Hollyhock. I feel very welcome and loved. And I would say the highlight for me every year is when I take the group outside. It's every one of those five rhythms is connected to an element. You know, flowing is earth, staccato is fire, chaos is water, lyrical is air, and stillness is ether. And each of those elements is so powerful and easily to connect to up there when we move out on the land. So for me personally, that's always my highlight.
Mm-hmm. I can just picture a bunch of people dancing at Hollyhock, and it just conjures up a lot of joy in my
yes.
imagination.
Yes, we get pretty blissed out.
Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you and hear about this practice and how profound and transformative it can be for people.
Mm-hmm, my absolute pleasure. I look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you. Stories, awakening, possibility, social impact. Creating a culture of compassion, connection, and collaboration. You are listening to Hollyhock Talks, a podcast about the teachers and luminaries that make Hollyhock extraordinary. Hollyhock is Canada's leading leadership learning center, located on Cortez Island. Hollyhock Talks brings a little piece of Hollyhock magic to you, wherever you are listening.